Radio Prague News. The Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek and Health Minister David Rath have promised to amend a controversial directive on healthcare payments. Police are investigating the cause of Saturday's gas explosion in a Prague restaurant, which killed two people and injured four others. And the Czech national hockey team suffered a humiliating 4-2 defeat at the hands of Finland on Saturday. The Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek and Health Minister David Rath have promised to amend a controversial directive on healthcare payments, according to which doctors would receive more money for treatment as of April the 1st. The Health Minister said this was made possible by the improving financial situation of the largest state-owned health insurance company, VZP. The insurer's debt is said to have dropped to 7 billion crowns, down from 14 billion in the previous year. Despite the announcement, doctors are continuing with preparations for a massive demonstration against the health minister's radical reforms next Friday. They claim that the demonstration could only be averted by the health minister's resignation or dismissal. Pharmacists and patients are expected to support the protest action. Police are investigating the cause of Saturday's gas explosion in a Prague restaurant, which killed two people and injured four others. The blast shook the three-story apartment block early on Saturday morning, demolishing the ground floor where several restaurant employees were working and shattering windows in the upper stories. 15 residents were evacuated while emergency crews used sniffer dogs to find people trapped in the debris. Investigators say it is likely that a gas pipeline may accidentally have been damaged during work in the building. Sport now. Hockey. The Czech hockey team took a beating at the hands of the Finns at the Olympic ice hockey tournament on Saturday. The 4-2 defeat was the second loss in a row for the Czechs, considered a gold medal contender coming into the games. Even worse, top winger Jaromír Jágr was injured when he was slammed into the boards by Jarko Rutu in the second period. The Czech team is already depleted by the loss of goalie Dominik Hašek and forward Patrik Eliáš to injuries. The Czechs face Italy in a decisive match on Sunday night. And a quick look at the weather forecast. Monday is expected to be partly cloudy with day temperatures between 6 and 10 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Peter Smith. Now, coming up later in today's programme, there'll be another edition of Czech Books with Bernie Higgins. And this week, it's about Fons Montevergenes, who is a writer from Belgium living here in the Czech Republic. Please do stay tuned for that. But also, we'll all have another letter from Prague, this week written by Linda Maštalíř, and we'll kick off, as usual, at this time of the week with your letters and your emails. It's Mailbox with Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to Mailbox. Today we'll be introducing a couple of new voices you've been hearing in recent weeks on Radio Prague. But first of all, let's go through this week's mail. Maskusa from New York has sent us a very nice email in which he says he's just written to another international radio station commenting on their newly designed website.
In my email, I commended the design of Radio Prague's website, noting how user-friendly it is. I also expressed my wish that all such international radio station websites would follow the same format as your station's design. Everything about the Radio Prague website is easy to navigate, unlike other stations' sites. You have all the important information and links about your station and the Czech Republic on your main page. Why can't all radio stations follow your format and design? Are awards given to international radio station websites? Radio Prague would win.
Thank you very much for that phrase. I have forwarded the email to our internet department, who are indeed responsible for a very important part of what we do here at Radio Prague. Another heartwarming email came also from the United States, from Tom Horman.
I decided to write this after talking to my 18-year-old daughter last night and showing her the QSL card you sent me. It was a flood of thoughts back to my childhood as I talked to her and what this stuff means to me. Today's internet has just about destroyed the mystery of radio with today's younger generations. I first received a QSL card from your station back in the mid-60s. It seems like a lifetime ago, and times were very different. I would routinely write to Radio Moscow, Radio Deutschland, and the BBC. I can remember saving my allowance for postage to mail letters to faraway lands. I was 11 years old, and probably on an FBI spy watch list for Russia, as this was the height of the Cold War. My daughter thinks it's so quaint that I still have these thoughts, but now, with email and everything, right now, what's the big deal? Well, after 45 years listening to shortwave radio off and on, so many stations gone, new ones on. You can even write a letter to Cuba and China now. It's still just plain cool what you gave me. So when I say thank you, I really do mean it.
Thank you too. And over the years, Radio Prague has also spoken in dozens of voices, and let me use this occasion to introduce two new ones to you, even though one of them is not entirely new.
Hi, I'm Linda Meschelis, and I'm a Czech-Canadian. My parents left Czechoslovakia after 1968, and I was born in Vancouver, British Columbia. Some of you may remember that I was an intern at Radio Prague some years ago while I was a master's degree student at the University of Toronto's Centre for Russian and East European Studies. Now I'm back living in Prague and finishing my research for my history doctoral dissertation, and I'm definitely happy to be back at Radio Prague. It's the ideal way to combine my interests as a journalist and as a historian, so I look forward to working with everyone again and to exploring many new interesting stories.
Linda is one of the two new voices on Radio Prague, and the other one is Chris Jarrett from England.
I'll be working for Radio Prague for the next few months as part of my university year abroad. I'll be here as an intern. I'm originally from Manchester, England, and I'm studying Russian and Czech currently back in England and Oxford. So I'm thoroughly enjoying work here at Radio Prague, and I'm most certainly looking forward to the next few months here.
That was Chris Jarrett and Linda Maštalić, our new colleagues here at Radio Prague. And finally, K. Tiagarajan from India asked in his letter what St. Valentine's Day celebrations are like in the Czech Republic. The holiday is very new in this country, just like Santa Claus, and both have been gaining popularity only in the past decade or so. We had a report on the subject in our program on Tuesday. In it, we interviewed a few people in the streets of Prague, and they agreed that it's more of a commercial opportunity than a genuine celebration. Anyway, let me add my personal experience. When I went out on Tuesday evening, I had never seen so many young men carrying flowers in 1 hour, not even on Women's Day under communism when celebrations were compulsory, so maybe it's really catching on. And before I say goodbye, here's our competition question for February. An ancient people known to us as Hittites lived in what is now Turkey in the 2nd millennium BC. They spoke an Indo-European language which was deciphered by a Czech archaeologist at the beginning of the 20th century. He was also the one who determined the Hittites' language was indeed Indo-European. Please send us your answers by the end of this month to english@radio.cz or to our postal address Radio Prague 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. Till next week, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Yes, Baba Horáková there with another edition of Mailbox. Please do write in. Now, a letter of a different kind, not a letter to Prague, but a letter from Prague, this week written by Linda Maštalić.
Prague is a city where history stares at you at every turn. As I sit at the desk typing in my friend's apartment, where I'm staying until I find a place of my own, my gaze out the window meets a 1930s block of flats in Klimenská Street. There is nothing outwardly special about the building. In fact, it looks rather shabby these days. If I look directly across the street, my eyes meet a second-floor apartment where the facade is peeling around the windows and the curtains are usually drawn. Sometimes the lights are on. I'm curious about who lives there, not because I'm a nosy neighbor, but because in the 1980s this very apartment was used by Czechoslovakia's secret police, the STB, to spy on my friend. There are many pages of dutiful reports by the STB officers who spied on my friend since 1971. First, they assigned her the code name Luna. Later, it was Filosofka. But in the reports, they always refer to her as, quote, the object, or just O for short. Many years later, the STB's general description still fits. 160 centimeters tall and thin, small frame, short hair, wears pants more often than skirts, always carries a purse over her shoulder, behaves normally. The pace of her walk is rather quick. At least they got something right. If you study the STB reports, it's clear they had a real problem keeping up with her fast pace. Quite often there are large time gaps in the STB diaries. For example, they lose her at 3 p.m. in the center of Prague, and helpless, the STB goons return to Klemenská Street waiting for their object to return home so that they can at least file the end of the day's report. In fact, there are entire days when they fail to track her down. Quite often, the reports make mention of how she, quote, left the apartment at 7:25 a.m. with a purse and a nylon bag containing a package, size A4, 15 millimeters thick, or some variation thereof. Often, the STB retrieved parcels and letters she mailed, but even then they never figured out the extent of what was happening under their noses. But let me return to the apartment across the street. Here's a word-for-word translation of what the STB report says they saw on October the 16th, 1987. At 17:45, the lights came on in the object's apartment. The object was spotted crossing the room in her bathrobe. At 18:36, the lights went out. Then the lights were switched on and off in the apartment several more times. At 20:55, the lights came on again, and the object is seen in the apartment with a man. They sat at the table, and the man wrote something in a notebook. The lights went out after 2 minutes. At 2100 hours, the object returned to the room and did something at the table. It appeared she was counting money. After about 3 minutes, she turned out the lights and left the room. Observation ended at 2300 hours, and the man had not yet left the apartment house of the object. End quote. In and of itself, reading these reports is now rather funny. Typically, the STB shift ended at 2100 hours, but on this night, they worked overtime from the apartment across the street. Still, they never figured out that Charter 77's unofficial bank was housed in the apartment they were watching. Nor did they uncover that the endless letters being mailed were part of a larger underground conspiracy, and that Irina Shiklova was the key figure in arranging the transfer of forbidden texts in and out of Czechoslovakia. When the STB spotted her carrying various shopping bags, they were usually filled with texts written by dissidents, on their way to the West via a secret route, so long as they were not intercepted. As I sit and write about these events now, I wonder what happened to the STB agents who sat across the street 20 years ago. It's part of the past, yet in these little ways I'm reminded that history remains more alive here than in other places I've lived.
Letter from Prague was written this week by Linda Mashtaliers. Now, it's just about time for me to vacate the studio and make way for Bernie Higgins and Czech Books. But quickly, a reminder of our address. It is Radio Prague 12099 Prague to the Czech Republic, and the address english@radio.cz. Now, as I told you about earlier in the programme, this week in Czech Books, Bernie Higgins is speaking with Fons Menti-Vergenes, who is a Belgian writer living here in the Czech Republic. From me, Peter Smith, bye-bye.
Prague is the most beautiful city in the world.
After Antwerp, of course.
Hello and welcome to Czech Books, and I have with me Belgian author Fons Menti-Vergenes. Hello.
Hello, Bernie.
And this opening line is from his new book, Nerudova 34, which has just been published and caused quite a splash in the Czech newspapers. I'd like you to tell me a little about the book, Fons.
Well, I came to Prague like 3-4 years ago and started to write a book, found a flat in Nerudova Street, number 34, and so many stories happened around me and things happened with me that I thought I had to write a book about it, because Prague tells you so many stories, although I immediately have to say that the book is not my diary.
There are some similarities insofar as the main character, Alphonse, is from Antwerp, and was involved in a theatre company there, and he has some adventures in Prague that bears some resemblance to yours, I think.
Yes, and the book is written in first person singular, and his name is Alphonse, my name is Fons, so we look a bit like similar people, or we look a bit the same, but it is fiction, it's not my diary.
It's set in Nerudova Street, a very beautiful street which winds up to the castle. How much was this an inspiration to you?
Well, Nerudova, as the center of Malastvana, is a mix of local people, expats and tourists, and the confrontation of these different cultures was very interesting to write a book about.
It's interesting for me that it is a book about an expat, and we hear a lot about expat communities in Prague, particularly Americans and British and some of the larger countries. Is there a Belgian expat community?
Actually, there is not. There are some Belgians in Prague, but the Flemish tend to stick to what the Dutch do, to go to the Dutch parties, and the Walloons go to the French parties. So there is nothing left like a Belgian expat community. Also, the main character of the book is not part of any community, is completely on his own in Prague. He's not working for a company or something that provides a big community.
So the character is rather a lonely character, rather isolated.
I thought that was very important to make him isolated, to make it a better confrontation with the city of Prague. Actually, there are two main characters. One is Alphonse from Antwerp, and the other is the city of Prague. If he would be a member of a group of people, the confrontation wouldn't be that strong.
Many people have written about Prague, but I think not so many have actually had it translated and published by a Czech publisher. Why was this important to you?
Well, it is my first book, and I wanted to publish it first in Prague because most of the foreign writers who come to a city, whether it be Prague or somewhere else, write a book and then go back to their own country and publish it in their own language, and they never have the confrontation of what they have written with the real characters or the situations in the book. So I wanted to have that confrontation.
Did you have a confrontation? How did local people respond to your particular take on the city?
Quite some people were surprised about what I wrote, and I wrote it like in a very honest way. And I must say that some people really hated the book at the start, which is very interesting.
It's three loosely connected stories, separate stories, which make up the book. And it focuses on the main character, Alphonse, who's working for some vague, mysterious institute.
He comes to Prague to make an inventory of the house fronts that are damaged by the flood. But in the first story, he comes as a tourist. And the second story is in Prague to work. And in the third story, he lives in Prague. So it was this different view or different perception of Prague that I wanted to put in the book.
I'll just read a short extract from the second story, which is called A Man Called Tramstop. And this is your own working translation. It's planned to be translated into English in the near future, but so far this is your own translation. The institution would soon contact me. To kill time, I wandered the streets. Repair works were happening in streets and squares. Many of the marble cobblestones on the sidewalks got dislocated and were lying like great heaps of sugar cubes waiting for the repairmen. From open basement windows emerged the smell of water damage. The lower part of all the house fronts was to be removed, and the pieces of stucco were thrown into dozens of waiting containers. The work continued through evenings, nights, Saturdays, Sundays, holidays, business as usual. In spite of the events, the iron faces of the inhabitants of the Golden City showed no sign of grief. Children played games. Those finding themselves above ground level were invulnerable. Construction workers on scaffolds yelled dirty talk to female American tourists. In a narrow street by the Chertovka, some men were drinking a bottle of pivo. The eldest was too old for this and other work. Because of the lack of skilled workmen, the contractor picked him right out of the sanatorium just to keep track of the doings of his younger companions. Obviously, they were recruited at the bar of the local hospital. The facade of the house they worked on contained soaked wall paintings. Some islands of soaked stucco were waiting for execution. The men noticed me and greeted me kindly. "Old?" I asked. The surveyor produced a mix of German and English, recent work of a local painter. He pointed at some details that still had to be removed. Each island offered an interesting view of female anatomy. Big breasts formed a whole archipelago. A triangular island of pubic hair pointed the visitor to the entrance. An artistically painted bottom provoked sounds of admiration from the old man. A big part of the plaster down on the right side of the wall still had to be removed. In a little time, the entire wall would consist of bare brick. Was it a sex club? I guessed. It sounded like the cry of the lonesome traveller, desperately looking for the red light quarter. No, nothing sex, bar, good bar. Approving mumbles from the others. Nice publicity painting for a bar. Nice women in the bar, according to the old man. More approving mumbles. This touches on one aspect of the book, which I suppose is a cliche in a way of the expat experience, of the male expat experience, is that a lot of people come to Prague for cheap sex and cheap beer.
I think we must admit that it's one of the main attractions of Prague, in spite of all the beauty of the city, that most of the tourists are here. Just for that reason, the main character of the book is not in Prague for that reason, but he is exposed to it, as everybody is.
You chose this time in Prague when the stucco is taken away and layers coming away. How did this idea of peeling back the layers tie into your vision of Prague?
There is a very big difference in what you see in Prague, the perception of the house fronts and the things that are going on behind these house fronts, behind the walls. So the moment that the stucco was taken off, you saw like the real structure of the houses. You have these Baroque facades, but in fact they are from Gothic or from Renaissance times, and you can see all the stages it has gone through, but once it will be repaired, everything is covered up again, and Prague is again a beautiful city, revealing its own past and mysteries.
It was clear from the extract I read out that this is a comedy. It's a comedy really about the failure of Alphonse to find love, to understand. Failure is too strong a word, but he's certainly hapless.
The world or the city of Prague is so strong and is so important that he becomes like very small or humble, that he's just like a marionette in a bigger game called Prague, and that events happen to him. Actually, he doesn't really do anything. He doesn't provoke anything. He is in Prague, and so that's why things happen to him, and that's why the book is full of adventures, and they are, I think, very humoristic, because I don't think we should take ourselves too seriously.
But you have, in fact, or you're in the process of completing a second book to be published here, in which the same character is a little more active.
Indeed, my second book is ready, and it will be published here in Prague, in Czech, this year, I hope. And it's like the fourth story of the book. So now he lives a bit longer in Prague. He's more used to the lifestyle of his compatriots in Prague, and he undertakes action himself, but that makes it even more dramatic.
Okay, I'll carry on reading an extract again from the second story. The old man took me by the arm and pulled me to a piece of plaster that still had to be removed down on the far right side of the house front. He pointed at a drawing and gave me a crystal clear explanation in an undecipherable language. I understood I was facing the artist's signature, though that seemed rather unlikely, an elephant with sad eyes and a sloppy penis as his trunk. Tomorrow everything gone. Their job was infinite sadness. Inside also everything painted. The eldest held both his hands in front of his chest as if he were carrying two white cabbages to give me an idea of the genre. Everything damaged. The floods in August hadn't only destroyed the house front but also the entire interior. On opening night, a sad occurrence, the owners had asked the police if there were any risks of inundation. Everything was under control, according to the council. The worst-case scenario would be that some drops of water would drip over the embankment, and regarding the level of the street where the bar was located, which was 1.5 metres higher than the embankment, there was no immediate danger. Precautions were taken. It was the day the bar would open, and they didn't want to postpone that. It was even a bit exciting, an opening night with the risk of flooding. The party was a success, and with the help of some hangers-on, all the furniture was placed on woodblocks, so everything was 2.5 metres above the level of the embankment by the Brunswick statue. That would do. In the worst case, they would have to clean some water from the floor next day. 7 hours later, the water reached the ceiling of the brand new bar.
So I first published the book in Prague, in Czech, because I wanted to avoid the colonial kind of viewpoint of people going to a certain city, writing a book about it, and then publish it in their own language and looking at it like we Belgians, we used to look at the black people in the Congo, and we had these books with even with black women naked, and we were looking at it from an ethnographical point of view, but in fact they were just books with naked black women. So that's how most of the travel books are written these days, and I wanted to avoid that. Besides that, I would want people to learn from my book that whenever you go to a foreign city, that the interesting thing is not everything that resembles your own city or your own world, but that the differences are interesting. And apart from that, I think it's a very humoristic book that people should enjoy the reading just by the humor and because it's funny stories.
Thank you very much, Fons.
Thank you.
If you'd like to comment on this or any other programs, please contact us at Radio Prague, 12099 Prague 2, or on English at radio.cz. Thank you and goodbye.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures vingt-sept. Europe, 5930, 7345. 8h30, 8h57. Europe, 9860, 11600. 17h30, 17h57. Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 15710. 19h30, 19h57. Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 9430, 23h, 23h27. Amérique du Nord, 5930, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.